A reading from Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk, and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened up to us the scriptures. Then I just want to read from John's Gospel in chapter 6, just a few verses. From verse 47. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live for ever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Let's pray together. Father, we just seek you again for a blessing. Lord, that you would speak to us in a powerful way tonight. Lord, we need to hear your voice ringing loud and clear to our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that that would happen now, and that you would enable us to respond to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. In this chapter of John's Gospel, in chapter 6, Jesus is extensively teaching them, really, on the whole concept of food as spiritual food. Earlier in the chapter, you've had the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus has fed a great multitude of people with a little amount of food, and he breaks it, and it multiplies, and is able to feed the multitude. And so, having got into their minds the whole concept of food and that which nourishes the body, he goes on later in the chapter to speak of the spiritual food. And each one of us would see a need for physical food. Every day, pretty much we will get up and we will have something to eat. And we know how much our bodies need food. And yet Jesus is teaching something very clear here, that just as our bodies need physical food, and we wouldn't really go a day without eating, so we need spiritual food. And we understand the basic concept that in order for us to be alive, in order for us to stay alive, we need that physical food, just to stay physically alive. And so Jesus here is saying that in order for you to be really alive, to be spiritual alive, you need this spiritual food. So he says here, "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And then he says, "I am that bread of life." So he's teaching a very simple truth, that Jesus himself is the bread of life. Jesus is the one that we need in order to have eternal life, in order to have everlasting life in us. But the question tonight is whether we have really, truly fed upon Jesus Christ, upon the one who calls himself the living bread. You see, we may hear all about God, we may hear all about the gospel, we may hear about sin, we hear about Jesus Christ, and we may even have gone to God and tried to say, "Please forgive me of my sins." But Jesus is teaching here that no matter what we say, no matter what we think, there's something more that makes someone really have life inside them. And that is a real encounter with Jesus Christ. It's when a person comes to God and meets with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ comes into their life and he changes their whole life from the inside out. And if a person has not had a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ, if they have not met with him, if they have not had communion with Jesus Christ, that means to spend time with him, to speak with him, they do not have everlasting life in them. Jesus says, "I am that bread of life." And then he goes on to speak about an episode in the history of Israel when God provided a physical bread for them that came and appeared every morning. He says, "Your fathers did eat manna, this special bread in the wilderness, but they are dead," because that was a physical food. And it could help them and give them, as it were, physical life. But that was not enough to give them spiritual life. And Jesus is saying there's one more thing. There's one thing that you need in order to give you spiritual life. And he says, "I am that spiritual life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." A special kind of food that God has sent down from heaven, and if we eat this special food, it will mean that we have everlasting life. That means even though we may die from this world, we will have a life that goes on forever and ever with God. That means that death is not the end, but we have a life of bliss eternally with God. And so Jesus is trying to communicate that it's this encounter with himself, that it has to be when we meet with Jesus Christ, he comes into our life and we meet with him, we spend time with him, and he is the person who has filled our life. Just saying, as it were, to God, "Please forgive me my sins," or coming to church or reading the Bible, that's not enough in order to save us. There has to be this encounter with God. And in a way, the way Jesus has put it, he's put it in a very strong way. He's put it in a very challenging way. Just after the bit that we read, it says, "The Jews strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus has put it in a very dramatic way. He said, "If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He's put it in such a dramatic way to wake them up and to get them to think that there is something very dramatic about this, something very real, something very physical, that if they are going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, it's just as real as if you're eating physical food. It's not some airy-fairy thing where you're just saying to God, please forgive me my sins, but it's something where you meet with the living, risen Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Jews, as I say, are shocked by this and say, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? It's a strange thing for Jesus to say. But again, Jesus replies, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So I want to ask you this evening, have you had that real encounter with Jesus Christ where you know that you have met with him, where he has come into your life as a reality? In the Bible, eating food is always symbolic of communion, spending time talking with someone. And so when we meet with Jesus Christ and get to know him and he comes into our life, that is feeding upon his flesh. Then I want to return to that passage in Luke's Gospel. We have a couple of disciples, people who have known Jesus. They've heard the message from Jesus. They've heard many times perhaps the basics of the gospel, how sins can be forgiven, how they can get right with God. They knew Jesus had come as some kind of savior, but they hadn't properly got hold of it. And here they are together, and they're walking along the road to Emmaus, and they're trying to think about all these things. And perhaps you tonight are trying to weigh up the things of Christianity and trying to understand who God is, who Jesus Christ is, what the Bible really means. And in a sense, that's what they were doing. They were discussing the whole situation together. And suddenly Jesus comes near and he joins in the conversation. But it says that their eyes were holden so that they did not recognize Jesus. They didn't know that it was the real Jesus. And you may be in that position tonight that even though you've heard the name Jesus many times and you know a certain amount about Jesus, but you've not really seen him for yourself. You've not really recognized him as the Son of God, as a living reality, someone that you personally can get to know. And that was the situation with these two disciples. So Jesus comes along and Jesus speaks to them and he says, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So Jesus is there with them and Jesus is speaking to them, and yet even so, they haven't realized who he is. And that again can be us tonight, that Jesus is here and Jesus is speaking to you, yet you have not yet recognized who Jesus is. And they say, are you a stranger here in Jerusalem? You don't know what's been going on. And he explains how Jesus was the one who was seemed to them as a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and the people, and how he was delivered and he was crucified. He was condemned to death. And then they've had some news of the resurrection. And they've heard how some of the women and how some of the other disciples have gone and they've seen Jesus risen from the dead. And you maybe have tonight have heard the testimony of other people who have experienced the living Lord Jesus. You've heard other people who have become Christians, who have recognized that Jesus is alive and how he's come into their lives. And yet you can say, I've heard about it, but he hasn't yet come into my life. I haven't yet seen him. I haven't yet communed with him. And Jesus says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And he explains really to them the whole reason why he had to die on the cross. And though they had been told about the cross and the purpose of the cross, yet they had not really understood it for themselves. And that again may be your situation tonight, that you've heard talk about the cross many times. You've heard that Jesus died, but you've not yet recognized that he died for you personally,
The reality of what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago has not yet become a reality in your life. You have not, as it were, taken it inside of you. And just as bread can be on a table and you can look at it, you can know what it can do for you, yet you've not swallowed it, you've not eaten it, it's not come inside you, so it can be with Jesus Christ. Until he comes inside of you, until he becomes part of you, he doesn't give you that life. I want to ask you tonight, has Jesus Christ come into your life? Has he come in and made that vital difference that brings you from death into life? Everyone who's become a Christian will tell you that there is a huge and vital difference between being a non-Christian and a Christian. It's a complete change in your life. It's not signing up to a set of rules. It's not signing up to a club or a religion. But it's an utter transformation in your life. It's passing from darkness into light, from death into life. And so Jesus explains to them the whole purpose of the cross. He says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And the Lord would say tonight, "Should he not have died for you, that you might have everlasting life? Should he not have come into this world and died on that cross in order that your sins might be forgiven, in order that you might be washed clean and be made right with God?" And so Jesus talks to them throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, the part that they had of the Bible that they had then, and explained how the Bible had prophesied, how God had prophesied through people for many years, that Jesus would have to come and he would have to suffer and die for them. And so as they are going along, they draw nigh to a village where they were going. And Jesus went as if he was going to move on to the next place. And they say to him, "Stay with us, for it's towards evening and the day is far spent." And he went in and stayed with them. I want to ask you tonight, have you come to that place yourself where you have recognized that Jesus is the Son of God and want him to come into your life? They saw that he was someone that they needed in their lives. And I wonder tonight, have you seen your personal need for the Lord Jesus Christ? And yet they had not yet fully comprehended who it was that was with them. And as Jesus was there and they had a meal together, and Jesus took the bread and he broke it before them. And as he broke the bread, suddenly their eyes were open, and suddenly they saw what Jesus, that it was Jesus there, and suddenly that they saw what Jesus Christ had done for them. And I wonder tonight even whether you can see what it was that Jesus Christ did for you, that when he suffered on the cross, he didn't suffer in vain, but he was suffering there for a purpose. He was suffering there to bring you to God, because it was the only means by which you could get to God, by him suffering and dying on that cross. And as the flesh of his body, it was torn, it was broken on the cross as the nails went through his flesh. That, in a sense, speaks of an opening up of a way, of an entrance by which you can get to God even tonight. And God would just say tonight to you, this is who he is. If you will just open your eyes, you can see the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can see what he has done for you, that there he suffered and he died for you in order to give you everlasting life, a life that cannot end. And all it needs to do, in a sense, is to come to Jesus Christ and to feed upon him, really to meet with him. And even tonight, perhaps you see your need for physical food. You see your need for your daily bread, and you wouldn't often miss a meal, perhaps. But do you see your need for the spiritual bread? Do you see your need for Jesus Christ? Do you see that without Jesus Christ, you won't pass into God's presence for eternity? Without Jesus Christ in your life, you will have to spend eternity in a place of punishment, paying for your own sins. But the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the promise to you tonight, that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that if you put your trust in him, your sins can be forgiven. You will pass from death into life, and you will know that for eternity you will be with God. So this is what it is that God did for you. In the person of Jesus Christ, how his body was pierced, how his flesh was broken, in order that you might receive this spiritual food. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I wonder tonight, are you going to receive that bread? He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Have you received Jesus Christ tonight? Have you fed upon him? And has he changed your life? Amen. Father, we thank you for the simplicity of your message. We thank you that as we feed upon the living bread, it brings a complete change to our lives. We pray, O God, that this word would stay with us and bring the change that is necessary. Oh God, we thank you that it is not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit that you move. And we just ask you that you would move upon the word as it has been heard tonight, Lord, to bring change, to bring deliverance, to bring that quickening, to bring that life, as only you can. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, what a Savior that he died for me. From condemnation he has made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life.